aside from the spiritual activities in which we're all engaged for worship, something else I'm sure we're in agreement on is the fact that all that frigid weather is behind us and we're able to get on normal church service schedules again, at least for now. No one knows the future, of course, but weather patterns in recent winters seem to indicate that once we're past that single-digit type weather, it seems to become milder, and we hope that that is true this year as well. But we, even summer, winter, we still are on our way to heaven and tend to do whatever it is we have to do in order to serve God. I get requests from time to time for Old Testament sermons. Sermons from the Old Testament offer a variety of subjects. I have a certain criteria that I use to select Old Testament subjects. I'll not go into the detail of that right now, but I will suggest to you that Psalm 95 meets all of that criteria. So I propose to discuss with you and present from the Word of God the next few minutes the subject of Psalm 95. I invite you to open your Bible. In fact, I encourage you to open your Bible. We're going to be doing the reading of that psalm. Nothing can facilitate your worship any more than to have your Bible open in front of you as we read and study this passage together. And looking at Psalm 95, it's a psalm of praise to the God of heaven. It calls upon people, the people of God, to worship, to bow down before him, and worship him. And that, of course, is what we're doing this morning. And this psalm will facilitate us in our worship. But also, it will extend beyond our worship and help us in our individual lives as well. We know that David was the author of this psalm about 1,000 years before Christ came to the earth. There is a special feature of Psalm 95 that gets our attention. Beside being a call to worship, it is also a call to urgency. I think all of us know what urgency is. Sometimes we say, I have to be more urgent about this. Sometimes circumstances force us into urgency. And we know that when that is true, those circumstances are giving us reason to give something our immediate attention. Right now, to hurry and do something instead of letting it go, putting it off, someday reasoning that we often get into. I'm looking at this psalm this morning because it is a call to urgency. And I would suggest to each of us that all of us, including myself, need more urgency about matters of God in our lives. So I suggest that we think about the Word of God in this passage together so that it has that effect upon our minds and hearts, that we might be able to be more urgent in our service unto Him. The identity of the content gives us a dual purpose, and probably this will help identify that criteria that I mentioned earlier. One is devotional, because as we turn our attention to this psalm, we're going to have a devotional look. When something is devotional, that means we take our time, we give thought to something that is helpful to us in our devotion, in this matter, to the God of heaven. So what I'm proposing is for us to take a devotional look at Psalm 95 that will help us, truly help us worship and develop a closer relationship to Him. But the second of those purposes is practical. Yes, it's devotional, but the impact of this psalm upon an honest and sincere mind and heart is very practical. If reading the Word of God can cause any of us and all of us to become more urgent, give a little more immediate attention, hurry up a little more with our growth, with our relationship to God and our journey to heaven. And the thing, instead of kind of losing it sometimes, then this psalm will help us in a very practical way. We need a greater sense of urgency. So let us read, beginning with verse 1, Psalm 95. You have your Bible open. The very first verse begins, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." We can't help but notice in these first two verses, this is the call to worship and exhortation to worship Jehovah. The word Lord in these verses is the word Yahweh or Jehovah. And we are exhorted to sing for joy, to shout joyfully to someone in particular, and that is to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. And in verse 2, let us come before his presence. Let us approach the throne of God with gratitude, with nothing but thanksgiving in our hearts for him, for the way that he has so abundantly blessed us. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. We know that the Hebrews included psalms in their singing. New Testament instruction teaches us that our singing and worship is to include psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we sing psalms sometimes as a part of our doing what these verses teach. Then, beginning at verse 3, or continuing with the third verse, "For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, oh, that you would hear his voice." We would notice in these verses what David is doing is moving from the direct exhortations that begin the psalm is to tell us why. Why should we worship Jehovah? Why should we bow before him in his presence? Well, he gives us some very significant reasons, and those reasons begin with the third verse. He is a great God, a great king above all gods. Of course, there is no other God beside him, in whose hands are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains. David moves from that to give us the reason of his greatness to his magnificence. He is our creator. He created the earth and the universe. Notice the way David breaks that down to the depths of the earth. That is still much unknown about the depths of the earth to us today. But in addition to that, the sea is his, for it was he who made it. His hands formed the dry ground. All of that is reference, of course, to the Genesis account of creation. But he also expresses not only that he is a great God, a great king, our creator, he is our shepherd. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Does this not remind you of David's reference in Psalm 23, "For the Lord," that word there is Jehovah, "is my shepherd"? Each of us should be able to make that affirmation. Jehovah God is my shepherd. We are his people. I am one of his flock. I am one of his sheep. And therefore I bow down before him. I worship him with thanksgiving, with awe in my heart of his greatness. And that, of course, is what David is saying in these verses. But then we also note in the remaining part of the psalm that a warning is sounded. Beginning with the 8th verse, he says, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart. They do not know my ways. They do not know me. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. I would notice with you the warning basically sounded is against the hardening, the loss of feelings. All of us are susceptible to this. There are various degrees of hardness. But it basically represents to some degree a loss of sensitivity, a loss of feeling, embracing God. And therefore, with that loss of feeling and the hardening to whatever degree we allow it to progress, then we become an individual who is unable to worship and serve him as we should. It is at this point that David then reminds those of his generation of their history. And it's good for us to be reminded of that history because it's there for our learning and our comfort of the scriptures. But you notice that David mentioned, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. This takes that generation back in their history to Exodus, the 17th chapter. In the wandering of the children of Israel after the Exodus, even before they got to Mount Sinai, even before they were in the wilderness in the desert of Sinai, they were in what is called the Rephidim area. And it was there, you will remember, if you remember this part of Old Testament history, that they were without water. They had no water. They had left the wilderness of sin, headed toward Sinai, but in between they were so stricken with drought conditions, they had no water to drink. And you know what happened? You remember what happened? They began to quarrel. They began to contend with Moses and with God. Did you bring us out here? Are you really with us? And so God named that place Meribah, the place of contention. And he also named that place the place of temptation or the place of testing God, putting God on trial. Go back and read that part of Old Testament history. We understand the people and their mindset. But if we're careful and observing, we'll see in them what may be a strong tendency for us. Sometimes we may have a tendency to think, are you not listening? I've been praying and praying and praying. Are you not hearing me? And furthermore, are you not answering my prayers anymore? You see, that in 2018 is the same thing that took place in 1400 B.C. when the people quarreled and fussed, questioning God, are you even with us anymore? The absence of water indicated that to them, and that was their interpretation of those difficult and severe conditions. And so what David is doing about 400 years later is writing and saying, listen, folks, do not allow yourself to become like them. As they were at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, because, and there's good reason for that, just listen to what God said, listen to what his thinking was. Though they had seen my work, they knew me. They had seen what I had done. They seen all the miraculous acts. But to tell you the truth, it's God saying, I'm paraphrasing, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. I was extremely angry with that generation. There are people who err in their heart, and further, they do not know my ways, and therefore I swore in my anger, God said, and this is part of God's nature, they're not going to enter into the rest. Now understand the word rest occurs in Psalm 95 and verse 11 as it does in earlier passages, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 9. For you have not as yet come to the resting place. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9. You have not yet come to the resting place. Now listen at the further description of the, and the inheritance. See, that's the way that they were referring to the promised land. It was their resting place. It was their inheritance. And so what God is saying here in Psalm 95, verse 11, because of the of them, because of the way they were, they were my people, but I'll tell you, they're not going to enter into the rest. They're not going to get the inheritance. They're not going to have the promised land. And so when you look at this in a very short passage, in 11 verses, David calls upon all who will read, especially directly to those of his generation, bow down and worship. Offer yourself in expression of your love and adoration by approaching the throne of God and worship Him. And whatever you do, do not allow your heart to lose its sensitivity. Do not allow your heart to lose its feeling that is spiritual in nature, that draws you closer to Him and gives you the recognition. Do not lose that. Because just as sure as God has done this for His people of old, He will do this for us. But now, we have said that in this psalm, in addition to the call to worship, there is a call to urgency. Did you see it? Did you read it? That's not a test. It's just simply a question of interest. In verse 7, notice, David said this, "Today, oh, that you would hear my voice." A statement from God to His people, "Today, I would that you would listen to me." There are several things to observe about that, one of which is the word today. Place the proper emphasis and meaning upon that verse because it means exactly what just a natural reading of the passage would suggest to us. And that is what God is saying, I want you to do that right now. Today means immediately. Don't allow it to be something that you're negligent about. Don't allow it to become something that you have indifference toward. You have no feeling about. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about right now, immediately. This is something you need to do. And when I try to measure myself, and perhaps you as well, all of us need, on our way to heaven, a greater sense of urgency. Because I think sometimes we allow our existence in this physical realm to become so distracting, so absorbing, that we lose that sense of urgency for what's most important. Because if we lose that sense of urgency about heaven and about spiritual things and give ourselves in more urgent attention to the things of this earth and the material things, then we're missing and allowing ourselves to become hardened as at Meribah and at Massah. But what God exhorts us to do is to hear. Now at first in reading that passage, if you, like I, am reading Psalm 95, we might think, well, that's just a function of the ear. But in both the Hebrew and the Greek language, the Old Testament and New Testament original language, the word suggests much more than a function of hearing, the function of receiving sound into the ear. It also suggests the matter of obedience. So when talking about hearing in Hebrews, in this passage, he's talking about listening so that one renders the obedience. So what God is saying that we're to have an urgency about is not only give Him our hearing, giving Him our listening, but our heart. He wants our heart. And he wants it with urgency. Not something that we're so lackadaisical about that, well, someday I'll get around to that. And we all have a tendency to be that way. And this passage kind of sets a fire under us, so to speak, and lifts us up above that and gives us a sense this is really the way God wants us to be. He wants us to have a sense of today is when you need to do that. Today is when you need to give your attention to going to heaven. Today is when you need to give your attention to your spiritual growth. But it's his voice that he wants us to hear. It is the voice of God. This, of course, is not referring to a literal hearing of God speaking, but to his speaking in Scripture, as he has spoken unto us. God communicates with us through the word that he has revealed to us. And so this addresses the matter of Scripture. It addresses the matter of the inspiration of Scripture. The fact that it is the breath of God. All Scripture is inspired of God. All Scripture is from the breath or from the mouth of God. Every Scripture is inspired. So the voice of God for us is Scripture. And so with this section, with verse 7, you put that in the framework of that entire psalm. And then zero in, like you do, to focus on something in particular, to look at something closer. Look at the last part of verse 7. And it says, today. Oh, I would that you would hear my voice. Now, what makes this psalm more meaningful to all of us? And what brings these verses to life in Christ is that they're used in the New Testament. Perhaps you have recognized and you're thinking about, well, I remember reading that somewhere in the New Testament. But I may suggest to you that you can read the New Testament and read Psalm 95, because Psalm 95 is so applicable, so relevant, so to the point that it's used. Let us take a look at where this is so. Psalm 95, as suggested here, is sounding its same urgent warning to Christians in Hebrews. Hebrews is where we find it most. So I'd invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I have the verse 7 on the screen, which is the verse that we want to read. And I want us to note, just remember, the Hebrews were in the same condition that many of us get into. Kind of losing it, you know, losing interest, kind of falling back instead of stepping up, kind of becoming weaker instead of becoming stronger. And they were in danger of losing their relationship to the Lord. And so one of the things that the Hebrew writer is trying to accomplish, particularly for them, is to show them the superiority of what they have. And to do that, he goes back and quotes some Old Testament scriptures. And one of the scriptures that he quotes is Psalm 95. If you will, notice Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. He again defines a certain day, today, saying to David, so long a time afterward, even as he hath said before, today, oh, that ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That should be immediately recognized. We have just read that in Psalm 95. And that's what the Hebrew writer is quoting. And what he's saying to them is that God has defined a certain day. He identifies that. It's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday, although that has some importance. I want you to think about today. Saying in David, this is how you and I can know by faith that David wrote Psalm 95. It is credited to him in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. so long a time afterward. So you take from the time that these things happened to the children of Israel, in about 1400 B.C., to the time David wrote, about 400 years the Hebrew writer has reference to there. Even as hath been said before, that's in the parentheses, he's telling us, I've already said this in chapter 3, and we'll note that in just a moment. And that's why it's regarded as being important, and this is the point. Today, oh, that you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So Psalm 95 sounds in the New Testament the same urgent warnings to you and to me. We can't ignore that. What is expected of us? What does God want of you today? He wants you to have a sense of urgency, a sense that would give you, make you feel like I'm compelled in a matter of haste to do this. Psalm 95 also serves as a deterrent to falling away. That's what was happening to some of the Hebrews. That's what happens to some Christians today. We can all think of individuals who were at one time Christians who are not Christians today because they fell away. They gave up on the Lord and turned away from Him. Psalm 95 serves in the New Testament as a deterrent to that. It's designed to help us avoid that. That's why it is so valuable to us. In these verses back in chapter 3, of course, I don't have room for all of those verses. But what the writer has been doing, beginning in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, "Wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, today if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, like as in the day of the trial in the wilderness." So you see, immediately you recognize he's quoting Psalm 95. And he continues in verse 9, "Wherefore your fathers tried me by proving me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was displeased with this generation and said, they do always err in their heart, as they did not know my ways. As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." You see what I mean by reading the New Testament and reading Psalm 95? Recognize that. Recognize the reason that the Holy Spirit has placed that. And by the way, that reminds me, observe with me what is said in verse 7. We not only have recognized by the Scriptures that David is the author. Sometimes people question. The Bible says that David wrote Psalm 95. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, it also says, even as the Holy Spirit said. We learn in this passage that David was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is an affirmation of the authenticity of Old Testament Scripture. It is the Word of God. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when we read Old Testament as well as New Testament, but look at what verse 12 said. And I do come down and have verse 12 on the screen. "Take heed, brethren. Take care, brethren," as the New American Standard Bible says, "lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God." So the point that the Hebrew writer is making is that I don't want any of you to lose your soul. I don't want any of you ever to fall away. And so in order to help you, in order to accomplish that with as much as within me lieth, I'm going to quote Psalm 95. And if an honest and sincere heart can be impressed with the Word of God and what God has said and what God feels and what God wants, when God says today, oh, that you should hear my voice, we're going to set up, we're going to take notice, and we're going to have that sense of urgency about the way that we live, about the way that we serve the Lord, and about going to heaven. It's not going to be something that we're going to be negligent about, incidental about, or haphazard about. It's going to be something that we're going to have a sense of urgency. That is a sense of this is something that I must do immediately now. Even give up some other things and sacrifice for it. And I must hurry and not allow it to become a matter of my indolence and laziness. One more point. Psalm 95 is used to warn against not profiting from the gospel and not entering into the rest. We read and noticed a moment ago, and we remember from our Old Testament history, the mass of the children of Israel, 20 years older, except for two, Joshua and Caleb, did not enter into the rest. Two. Why was God so? No, it's just, it was their fault. God did everything he could. They weren't allowed to enter into the rest, the promised land. Their bodies were strewn in the wilderness. It must have been some sight to see of all the deaths that occurred over that 40-year period of time. God, that's the way it is, and it's your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault. And when it comes to this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, we are reminded of that incident. He said, "Let us fear, therefore, lest happily, a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter into the rest, even as he hath said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." What is said in these verses is that main point. Let us fear lest, this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. While a promise remains of going to heaven, that's still a promise out there, and that's what he's talking about here, of entering into his rest, that is the rest that God is providing, that he has so shown through the dispensation of time, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. There's a lot of people in this religious world who think that I've got it made. There's no way I'm going to miss heaven. If you see statistics, it's unbelievable how many people in this country, all people in this country, believe that when they die, they're going to heaven. I mean, the last time I saw figures on that was in the upper 80% of the population of this country think that when they die, they're going to heaven. But according to what the Bible teaches, we can go to heaven. But it's only through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins and our faithfulness to him. And what he is warning the Hebrews about, you folks want to lose it? You want to lose your salvation? You want to lose your soul? Then just then become negligent. Lose your sense of urgency. Let yourself slide and drift. And then you truly will come short of it. And I tell you, the thing that none of us want to hear when we stand in that great day of judgment for the judgment seat of Christ, we do not want to hear him say to us when it's one-on-one, "I'm sorry, you fell short." Do you want to hear that? No one wants to hear that. Well, these passages help us in understanding what God has done to fortify, to strengthen, and to help us in every way that he can to avoid coming short of that eternal rest which is ours to enjoy. So when we look at Psalm 95, a call to urgency. Today, oh, that you would hear his voice. This is a call of urgency for all of us. I mean, all of us. For those who are not Christians, it's a call of urgency to become a Christian. That's urgent. In obeying the gospel, to become a disciple of Christ, that is urgent. This call is for that urgency. At the same time, all of us who are living our lives as Christians and trying every day to do our best and serving Him and being a part of His church in a way that is pleasing to Him, a sense of urgency, a call to urgency about that. That's not where we can let down. That's not where we can quit. That's not where we become indifferent and lackadaisical. But it's where we must have a sense of urgency until the day we die. So there may be someone present today as we prepare to sing this invitation song. Someone may decide, it's urgent for me to be saved and go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And therefore, today is the day of your salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, perhaps you will remember, perhaps you've thought of that passage. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, did not use Psalm 95. He used different language. But he's talking to the Corinthians like, you folks have slipped too much. You folks have let it get away from you too much. Today is the day, but now, he said, is the day of salvation. And that may be true for someone here today, true for all of us, that we might spend eternity. Let us know while together we stand.